When God wrote the New Testament, he chose to use the word woman more than 200 times. It is not possible in a single sermon to look at all the places where woman is used, but we do want to highlight some of those places today because, as most know, it's Mother's Day. If you want to follow along, our beginning point is going to be from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33, Jesus used the word woman to illustrate the kingdom of heaven. The Lord said that there was a lady, there was a woman, who put some leaven in meal, and he used that imagery to illustrate the gospel. He wanted to communicate that in a similar way, the gospel needs to be mixed, it needs to be inserted, it needs to be placed into the lives of people so it can save souls. Jesus used a common activity by women in the first century to illustrate one of the most important things in life. There's some tasks that people do, sometimes ladies. And those tasks may seem routine, those tasks may seem mundane, but God is aware of what we do. And not only is God aware, sometimes those mundane, sometimes those common tasks are a lot more important than people realize. In the case of working with dough, that household activity was once used by Jesus to illustrate the way that people are converted. When we think about women, not all are moms, but some certainly are. Two chapters later in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22, we read about another common task that was performed by moms. There was a woman, a Canaanitish woman, and this lady has a daughter. Matthew tells us that this lady had a child who was grievously vexed by a demon. She was not just sick, she was very sick. This woman hears about Jesus being in the area where she is, and she goes to see the Lord. She not only goes to see the Lord, she beseeches Jesus for help. The disciples become aware of this woman. They see her as a pest. And the Lord's disciples do their very best to shoo this woman away. The lady's not willing to be shooed away. According to Matthew 15 and verse 25, this lady goes to Jesus, and not only is she willing to seek help, the text says she's willing to worship the Lord. Jesus then says something which might strike us as strange, Matthew 15 and verse 26. He gives this lady some information which might have caused a number of people to turn away. In that 26th verse, the text says, "And he answered and said, it is not meet, it's not fit, it's not proper to take children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Now, if you'd heard those words, what would you do? Some people might have just said, "I've heard enough. I came to you for help. I was looking for assistance. This is the response that you give me. I'm not going to spend any more time with you." This mom was someone who was persistent. This is a mom who didn't quit. We know that because of what we find in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 27. But there's a contrast. This mom said to Jesus, "Yea, Lord, for even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Jesus heard those words from this mother. After hearing those words, he said to this lady, "Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Thou came help. Thou came seeking help for a sick child. And Jesus said, "You go. The demon is going to be expelled from your daughter." This mom was successful in her quest to get her daughter healed from the demon. It's one thing to do things that are routinely done by moms, Matthew chapter 13. But it's another thing, Matthew chapter 15, to going to bat for a sick child, even when the circumstances may seem daunting, even perhaps when it seems like the circumstances are unlikely. This woman was a Canaanitish woman. She was not someone that Jesus said, "I came to." This was not the mission group. This is not the target group that I had. But this woman decided, "I'm going to go see this man, and I'm going to see if I can get help for my daughter." In just a few verses from Matthew 15, we find some good and some commendable insights about moms. Moving a little more deeply into the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 7, we find another key reference about ladies. You have a lady in Matthew chapter 26 who had some perfume. Mark also records this information in Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 3, that parallel text, we are told that this perfume was not just costly. Mark says this perfume was very costly. The value of this perfume has been estimated at costing a year's salary. In Matthew 26 and verse 7, we are told that this lady decided to pour this perfume on the Lord's head. Now, Matthew doesn't say that she decided to put a few drops on the Lord's head. She doesn't say, or he doesn't say, that she poured out a little or some or even a lot. This lady, not long before Jesus died, came to the Lord with this expensive perfume and emptied it on Jesus' head. Matthew chapter 26, let's see what we've got in verses 8 and 9. We have here some information about how the Lord's disciples responded to what this lady did. "But when the disciples saw it, after these men saw it, they had indignation. And the text goes on to say, to what purpose was this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. What was a mundane task, Matthew 13, helping a child or something else? We now find that as we think about women, they can be generous. This lady was willing to give maybe not all that she had, but something that was very, very expensive. We, as we look at other women, we find that there are some ladies who are sometimes willing to give all that they have. Sometimes there are ladies who come and they, even out of their poverty, are able to make a generous gift. Leaving Matthew chapter 26 and the generosity that we have here, we turn a chapter later and we find Matthew chapter 27. Not all women are married, but as we look at Matthew 27, we find that some are. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 19, we find that there's a lady who's married. She's someone who's married to an official, in this case, Pilate, the governor. And from that 19th verse, we find that she was someone who wanted to help her husband. Matthew 27, 19 says, and while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this righteous man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. When we think about ladies, we find that there are times where a woman wants to help her husband. Maybe she's married and has a child, maybe not. A woman may defend her children. She may seek to give them the fullest possible level of aid. A wife may also go to great lengths to help the man that she's married to. The world, as we look at it, it doesn't always hold women in high esteem. Some have claimed as they look at Scripture that the Bible doesn't honor women. There have been people who have said that the Bible demeans women. There have been people who have said that the Bible is not a book which exalts women. And that's simply not true. We've seen that from what we've looked at thus far. There are some other passages which indicate that as well. If you are in the Wednesday adult class where we are talking about the life of Christ, you have picked up, I think, some of the things that we pointed out about women. It was women who were among the first who came to Jesus' tomb after the Sabbath passed. When you look at the people that the angels appeared to, it was women. No indication that there was any angelic appearance to men. Perhaps a rebuke to the men because of their unbelief. You also find, as you look at the book of Matthew, for instance, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 55, that when it was time for Jesus to be crucified, women were there. And not only were women there, the Bible says many women were present. Matthew 27, 55 says, and many, notice that word. And many women were there beholding from afar who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. And then you have some of the women listed in verse 56 and following. We've only looked at a fraction of the verses from Matthew which talk about the word woman, but we've looked at a good sampling. I'm going to skip the book of Mark and offer a little information from the book of Luke. If you were to look at Luke chapter 7, you'd find some information about a woman, a very special woman. Jesus has entered into the house of a man named Simon. And Simon is someone who's watching the Lord, and he's, on this occasion, a host to Jesus, but he's not a very good host. Simon fails to do some things. But as events unfold at Simon's house, Jesus makes it clear that there's a woman there. And he says that this woman did some things that Simon did not do. Jesus said to Simon, you didn't give me any water to wash my feet. But Jesus said about the woman who was there, look, this lady, a person that some people look down on, Jesus said that this woman has washed my feet. Not only did this woman wash the feet of the Lord, the Bible says that Jesus' feet were wiped with her tears and her hair. This same lady, as we look at her, was hospitable and helpful beyond belief. Men have not always done the same. In Luke chapter 7, we are reminded when it comes to hospitality that some things may not be obvious, but still, it's offered. Basic hospitality may seem to be such a small thing, such a simple thing, but it's also, as we know, an important thing. Basic, decent acts of kindness have been offered by women throughout time. And the text indicates from Luke chapter 7 that God notices that. When it comes to the female gender, women can do some things very, very well. And they can also be, as we think about that gender, some people who can be ever so diligent. About midway through the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 15 and verse 8, Jesus talks about a lady who lost something. This is the account where the lady had 10 pieces of silver. Jesus, as he gives that teaching, he talked about the fact that this lady lost one. Now you would think, well, she's got 10, she's lost one, no big deal. But Jesus says she not only swept, the text says, depending on your translation, she diligently swept. She kept looking for that piece of silver. And then after she found that piece of silver, Luke 15 and verse 10 tells us that she would call her friends together and she would rejoice. Not only was she a diligent worker, the text tells us that she was a good communicator. Now, not all women make good choices. We know that because two chapters later in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, we are told to remember Lot's wife. There's a woman, there's a wife, there's a lady who had some children, but she did not make some good choices. But when we look at a lot of women, some of whom are in Scripture, we certainly find some ladies who are fine examples and worthy of commendation. Towards the end of, in fact, it's at the end of Luke's gospel as far as the final chapter, but towards the end of that chapter, Luke chapter 24, we find some other information about women. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 22, we read about some ladies who were going to the tomb of Jesus. It was after the Sabbath, and the Bible says that these women who went, they went early to the Lord's tomb. They apparently were not convinced that everything that needed to be done for the Lord's permanent burial had been done, so they show up. They didn't come when it was convenient. They didn't come when they were finally able to get around to it. The Bible says that these women not only went, the text says that they were willing to go early. That speaks well of these women. And today, when we find some ladies, we find that they are willing to get up and they're willing to go early. Not when it's convenient, not when it's fun, not when perhaps everybody else is ready to go, but it speaks well. Women were willing to go early. In the book of John, as we turn to the fourth chapter, we find some information about another woman, a woman who had some problems in the moral realm. John tells us that this lady was from Samaria. And in John chapter 4 and verse 15, this lady, even though she had some moral issues, the text tells us that she was willing to come all the way to draw some water. Imagine needing to walk for water, the water that you need to bathe, to wash, to do whatever you want to do, and then carry it back home. Perhaps as you go to get that water, you're having to wait in line. Other women are there. That's what this woman was willing to do. In the past, women were often tasked with getting water. In the past, and even now, as we think about women, as we think about ladies, it's often been the case that they've suffered, sometimes justly and sometimes unjustly. As we think about some of the injustices that ladies have suffered, we find that they have sometimes been the object of religious persecution. Turning to the book of Acts in the 8th chapter in verse 3, the Bible says that men and women, males and females, after they became Christians, they were taken to jail. Men and women were baptized, Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. But the persecutors, like Paul, went after both sexes. Apparently, the unsaved, like Paul, saw women as being people who would teach children. And the teaching of the young people would one day cause people, specifically males, to become Christians, preachers, teachers, leaders in local congregation, and that was opposed. Because of that, people were thinking long term, and they wanted to persecute the women, locking them up and doing some other things that were really, really awful. As we think about women, we find that they are so special that men, as Paul dealt with the males, gave the males some special responsibilities. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 33, Paul said that a man, a male, a husband, was to please his wife. If you're going to be married, Paul said, you need to learn how to please your wife. Now, our world, as we look at passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 33 and a little bit later in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, in just a moment I'm going to read what Paul said in that third verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The world looks at some of this information and it says, oh, that's bad, that's wrong, that's outdated. The world doesn't like what we find in passages like 1 Corinthians 11. It likes 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 33, husbands, love your wives. Husbands, you need to please your wives. But when it comes to 1 Corinthians 11, that's where they begin to object. Well, we know that the home needs leaders. If you're in a family, you know that that family needs to have a leader. In some cases, it seems like the leader in the home is the child or the children. In some cases, it may seem like in a married situation, the wife is the leader. But the Bible says when it comes to leading the home, God's plan is for the man to be the leader. Please his wife, 1 Corinthians 7:33, but also be the spiritual leader. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, Paul said, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And that's the way it is. As you continue to look at this, the world says, well, that just can't be right. We need to have equality, and that means that the husband and the wife, they're going to be doing the same things in the home. There might be times when it seems like the wife is a better leader. There may be times when it seems like the wife is the more capable leader. There may be occasions where the husband says, I don't want to be the leader. The wife wants to be the leader, and I'm going to let her take over that responsibility. That can't be right. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, Paul said that the head of the man is Christ, and he says that man is the head of the woman. It's not up for discussion. It is case closed. A little bit later in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9, he said, for neither was the man created for the woman. And the latter part of that verse says, but the woman was created for the man. As Paul continues to talk about this in another letter, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, Paul said, the husband is the head of the wife. As the head of the wife, Ephesians 5 and verse 23, Paul said that the man has some responsibilities. Not only do you need to learn how to please your wife, 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 33, Paul said that you need to love your wife as Christ loves the church, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. And as a husband does that, Paul said in another letter, the Colossian letter chapter 3 and verse 18, that the wife needs to submit to her husband. Moms can do great things. Moms can exert an unbelievable amount of influence. And that's why, as Paul talks about the relationship between a husband and wife in the home, he said that each one has specific roles. Each one needs to carry out those roles. When it comes to women and the special responsibilities that they have, one of those is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. As Paul talked about women, and he deals with this matter, in talking to that younger preacher, he talks about modest dress. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. Now, the problem in 1 Timothy 2 does not seem to be a lack of dress, a lack of clothing. In 1 Timothy 2, 9, the problem seems to be overdressing, gaudiness, too much jewelry, things like that. When we look at our day and time, we find that young people typically have no trouble in figuring out how to wear skimpy clothing. Moms can have a powerful, unnecessary influence in helping kids understand modest dress. Not only modesty in the sense of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, modesty in the sense of overdressing, but also in the sense of keeping covered what should not be bared. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11. Here Paul talks about women or wives. It's the same word that we've been looking at. He doesn't specify who these women are. Some have thought that they are the wives of deacons. Some have thought that they are a reference to the wives of elders. Others have thought that they are women in general. It's difficult to tell exactly who they are. But as we look at these women, you find there a great passage as far as women and one of the qualities that they should have. In the ESV, in the English Standard Version, you have the word dignified. God is looking for dignified women. Don't always see that. Sometimes that can be hard to find in today's world. But a godly mom is living the kind of life where if she has a non-Christian husband, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, it's going to be helpful as far as that Christian life to winning that non-Christian man. The non-Christian is going to see a life which is winsome. The non-Christian is going to see a life which is attractive. It's not going to be just the physical appearance, but there's going to be that inward beauty. There's going to be that quality of life which says to the husband, there's something special, there's something distinct, there's something that is so attractive about you, I want to know more about the kind of life that you're living. A godly mom likes to be like the holy women of the past, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, there are some women who are like Jezebel. John talked about that in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20, but that's the wrong way to live. A little bit later in that book, in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 6, John uses the image of a drunken woman. And when we think about ladies today, there are certainly some ladies who have taken that course as well. The last time that you find this word for woman in the New Testament is in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 9. It's there that John says, I want to show you something. I want to show you the bride. I want to show you this woman. John says, I want to show you the wife of the Lamb. Women are so important that as that word is used in the final time in the New Testament, it represents the saved. Not only does it represent the saved, but it represents the saved in the most glorious, the most glamorous way. When you look at the word translated woman in the Bible, it is used, as I said, more than 200 times. And many of those times are very, very favorable. God made woman. Out of all the creatures that God could have made, males and females, he decided that women needed to be part of the human equation. We honor them today. And as we think about the contributions that women make to our society, to our congregations, they should be honored. They should be appreciated every single day because they're special. This morning, if you're a woman, mom or not, you're special. You were made in the image of God, and you are someone that God hopes will spend eternity with him. The plan is simple. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and faithful Christian living. That's his plan for all people who are accountable. And that's his plan that he's extending to you today. Are you one of the faithful? male or not? That's the question that we're asking you to consider as we stand and sing the invitation song.